Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Financial Fitness. It is Monday. It is just a little bit after Father's Day, but we weren't on air yesterday. We want to wish all you fathers out there a happy belated Father's Day and a happy Juneteenth. Today, the second year that it is an official federal holiday. Last year, a lot of companies, though, hadn't really gotten the notice in time. But this year, most everybody has the notice, and everybody was closed. Traffic was really nice and light on the way over here. A lot of us got to enjoy a three-day weekend, sleep in a little bit late today. And again, happy Juneteenth to everyone out there. And we thank all of you guys who are listening. And I felt compelled today that we talk a little bit about fatherhood, being that it's Father's Day weekend. And you know, probably the greatest thing I've been fortunate to be is a father to three amazing kids, a stepfather and a father. So I've seen both sides, and knowing my past and where I grew up, it's definitely something that is absolutely key in the well-being of a family and the well-being of children. So fathers out there, your role is huge in how your children grow up, and it's something that can't be taken lightly. And our show, Financial Fitness, you know, we talk about finance, we talk about business, you know, those are things too as fathers that we have a responsibility as providers for our family and also the protectors of our family. You know, the male in any species is the protector and normally the provider. And again, in the human species, that is something we need to take on those roles and take great pride in that, you know, as a father. You look at most of the problems that we have in our society, and a lot of it comes from fatherless households. You go to any prison, you go to any place where there's a lot of problems with crime or anything in that regard, it all stems from a lack of fathers in the household. And being that it's Father's Day, we had a last minute cancellation, so we've got my good friend Mr. Trey Gradnego.
How's it going, everyone out there?
Keeping me in line. He keeps my marketing tight. And you know, since our guest couldn't make it, we had a really good show on the medical side lined up, but it fit right in. We could go into mm-hmm. fatherhood, Father's Day. Yeah. I always see you with your beautiful baby girl and alongside with you, and I know you do a great job with that as well, and proud father as well. And yeah. You know,
it's one of the best experiences that I've had. You know, my story is, you know, I've always wanted kids. I think I was just born to be a dad. I really was. And you know, but I had children late,
right?
And you know, and there was a period of my life that I was like, man, you know, I just felt like, is it going to ever
happen? You getting old?
Yeah, getting on up there. These gray hairs keep creeping up on me. And, you know, when it happened, it was surreal.
How old were you?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and date myself.
Right.
But, I
did that to you.
Let's see. How old am I now? So I was 40. I was 40, 41.
Nice.
You know, with when I had my first child. And it's like, you know, I really, really, I've always been a one that worked with young people, and I've had a lot of, you know, a lot of the kids call me Uncle Trey. You know, I had a youth camp, and you know, so I had a lot of kids that I would have influences in their lives, but there is just nothing like being a father, and I didn't realize that until I had my daughter, and just everything changed. It changed my life completely.
Yeah.
And it's just an experience that it's out of words for me.
It is. And I remember I was a late bloomer too. You beat me though. I was 32 when I had Asher. Mm-hmm. I was the opposite though. Mm-hmm. I was always single, bachelor, didn't want kids. I was more focused on business. Mm-hmm. And I, because of the negative, I guess, outlook I had on marriage. Mm-hmm. I had seen a very ugly divorce with my parents. I had, you know, dealt with that neglect of my father leaving for many years. Love you, Dad. We rekindled things much later in my life. But there was a period of about 10 years where I didn't see or talk to my father.
Wow.
And, very traumatic for a kid to go through that at that, really pivotal age from, 10, 11, 12 years old upwards till you're 20. That's a very transitional period for a kid. So, it was difficult. And so for me, I saw the bad side of family and marriage and most of the people, because birds of a feather flock together. So most of the people I saw in my neighborhood and in my sphere were mostly single moms and single parents, or the ones who were married, I didn't want to be like them. It was not a happy home.
Yes.
So I didn't have a good outlook on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in my later 20s that, I met my wife. We started dating. She had two beautiful young children that I got very close to.
Mm-hmm.
And my perspective started to change. You get older, you get a little wiser. And then, I think I'm gonna marry this girl.
Right.
This is the one. And so we got married, and at that point I still just was content with the stepchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't thinking I wanted any more children.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, you gotta have one of your own. Let me give you a child. And I was like, okay, we'll try, but that wasn't, still wasn't.
That's how it works out.
Yeah, like I still wasn't there, like it. And so then we're trying, which I joked with her too, because within like a month, I'm cooking, I'm grilling for the LSU National Championship game. I'll never forget, me and my best friend Mark Walker, we're out there and we're grilling, and she comes and she says, hey, I need you to come inside, and I need to talk to you about something. And, and I knew I hadn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
So I was like, why is she pulling me away from grilling with my boy to talk about?
This
is and so I'm like, and she pulls me in the bathroom, and that's when she pulls out, the little EPT, the little.
I was going to say, watch it, it's a family show.
Pulls out what?
The little pregnancy test.
Yeah.
And she shows it to me, and I've never, luckily, I never had a pregnancy scare either in my life. So I was like, wait, is that positive?
I can imagine.
You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, I'm in like this state of shock, and it's like a delayed reaction. Like I was excited, kind of nervous, a little scared. It's like this whole like wave of emotion that was kind of setting in.
Wow.
And so then we hug, and we're all tearing up, and it was pretty, and it's like you said, surreal moment. And then fast forward, we're pregnant at this time.
Yeah.
And one thing, we didn't find out what we were having.
Yeah.
And I just found that was more exciting to have that suspense and that build up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, how people, as you're going through, and what are y'all having? And we would tell them, we're not finding out. And they would get frustrated.
Yeah,
well, wait, we need to know.
Right,
I was like, why do you need to know?
Where are we living?
No, you don't need to know.
We don't know. And so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then, fast forward, we end up having a beautiful son, Asher, who, we were in the hospital, and I think a lot of things, and so we had it narrowed down to two names, and we're getting ready to be discharged from the hospital, and they're like, we need a name for the birth certificate, and I'm overthinking it, because I'm like, your name really shapes a lot of things, how people judge you, how people look at you, what your personality is, how's your name sound, does it sound good, does it flick, and I started really thinking of all the little things about a name, and it was so hard to settle on just something as simple as what we're going to name our son.
Right.
And
you don't want to mess it up. You only have one shot.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, you go to Hollywood and change your name if you want, but
right,
you want to get it right the first time.
Right.
Yeah. So we had Asher, and like you said, most amazing experience, and it's been the best 9 years of my life.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, he saved my life. You know, when I was in a really, really dark place after my brother had passed away 10 years ago.
Wow.
So, you know, Asher really gave me a second chance at life, and being a father has been the best part of my life to this point. So you gotta stay tuned. After this short commercial break, we're gonna come back with more financial fitness. So, speaking of Father's Day weekend, had an amazing weekend, rocking one of my gifts, my Rocky t-shirt.
Nice.
Yeah, anybody's watching, a big obviously my Italian, you got Italian too,
that's
so anybody
right.
You got any Italian and you gotta love Rocky.
That's right, man. That's right grabbing it, go straight from Venice.
And I don't know if anybody doesn't like the Rocky movies.
You gotta like it. I mean, he's a winner. Exactly.
You can like everyone except Rocky V. That's the one you're forgiven on, because that one's terrible.
I don't know though.
Tommy Morrison.
I didn't think it was it was that bad.
No, because it was built to be that thing.
It wasn't as good as the first four.
No.
It wasn't terrible. Like I thought it was watchable.
Maybe I need to go back. It's been a long time since I watched it. Like, I like the premise of it. He gets back from Russia. The doctor tells him he's got brain damage, you know, from boxing. He's got to quit. He loses all his money because of Paulie made bad investments.
Yeah.
Like, the story's great.
It's a good story.
The Don King guy and Tommy Gunn, I could have done without. Like, give me a story about how he's trying to make, like, he's got Mickey's
gym. Now, Creed was, I tell you what, they killed it with the Creed comeback.
Both Creed movies were fantastic.
They did.
And I'm excited for the Creed 3 that's going to be coming out.
They're doing a 3?
Oh, they're filming. I think it's already done filming. I think they're done.
Oh, I have to shout out to my boy Corey out there in Cali.
Wow.
He's a good friend of mine, actually, is Michael B. Jordan's personal trainer for those movies and
he's
stuff.
Directing the third one.
So,
is he?
So Corey might have a little cameo in that. So
yeah,
one of my boys I used to compete with here in Louisiana.
Nice.
He's now a big celebrity trainer out in Cali, so he's doing well, doing his thing. So
tell us about the fight. You know?
So to get back on track, we got a little ADD sometimes here in the
studio.
Yeah, we
move around a bit. It's loose today.
So this weekend, Father's Day weekend, you know, Asher had his first fight, if you guys were listening last week, you know, in the steel cage in the octagon.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Papa, you know, here in Notorious Big, so Asher got to pick his fight music.
Mm-hmm.
And Asher, if anyone knows Asher, he is a huge Conor McGregor fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I want to do Notorious B.I.G. because I want to come out like the Notorious Conor McGregor.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, he came out. His ring walk, he had his swag and everything.
Yeah,
he killed it, man. Killed it. Killer fight, man. Those two kids went at it. It was a battle. You saw the footage.
Yeah.
Asher shoots in, killer takedown, gets him in a guillotine, almost tapped the kid out. Then the kid got out. They go back at it for a minute, and then couple of good back and forth scraps till unfortunately Asher got caught with an arm bar.
Oh, yeah.
And he you know, one thing, talk about fatherhood and you know, parenting advice and your children and all, you know, this show, I always want to help people be better at business or, you know, family things that I learned along the way. Asher's at the gym right now.
Wow.
He's at the gym right now with his coach. You know, they've watched the film, and Asher, you know, he wants to go train. He wants to go work on what did I do?
Right.
What do I need to improve?
To
what can I fix?
Yeah.
And, you know, so as fathers, we need to teach our children good fundamentals, you know, for life. Hard work, you know, perseverance, and being able to overcome adversity and overcome failures. And you know, there's no failures. Failure is really a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
Overcome obstacles. And again, anytime you have a loss, a failure, anything like that, it's just an opportunity for growth. Problem is, most people don't grow from it, and they don't take the lesson and learn from it. A lot of people just give up or quit, and they don't ever overcome those obstacles. But the biggest reward is when you overcome those obstacles, because Asher's going to fight this kid again.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're both from the same, you know, state. They're both similar. I think the kid might have about 5 or 8 pounds on Asher. But there'll be future competition. So to come back and avenge that loss,
yeah,
you know, and overcome that is going to be, again, a huge confidence builder.
And what's major, you know, especially speaking as a father, you know, we have to be the examples. We have to exemplify those behaviors,
yes,
that we want to see in our young people. And that definitely means being transparent. And so, and why is that? The reason why that's important is because, you know, whenever young people get into, I mean, they're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes, but they have to know what to compare it to. They have to say, okay, well, you know, this is how my dad would have handled it, or this is what he does, and this
right.
is how he does it, to know what to do. Now, will they always make the right decisions? Maybe not, but it's important that they know and have that example,
yes,
and they're available to them so that they can know which direction to go.
Well, and something you said there, we forget that we're a mimicking species.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from infant till adulthood, mm-hmm, we learn mostly by mimicking.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you do, your kids are watching.
They're watching.
And they are listening,
mm-hmm,
even when you don't think they are.
Yep.
They might have their iPad there, but they're still picking up on little things. And so every little thing you do is bigger than mm-hmm that. It's not a little thing.
That's right.
And, you know, things that I try to do as a parent that are just small, but they're not insignificant. If I get home and I'm tired, I'm never too tired if he asks me to come watch or
yeah
come do something or come play or come throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Just as simple as, you know, one night, hey, Dad, come watch me. He got a new video game. Okay, I go in the living room, I'm exhausted. I go in there and I sit in the recliner and I watch him, and then we end up playing and we're fighting UFC game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then another time he's playing, I can't even beat him in Madden anymore. It's
well,
so sad. Like, man, when I was
on that one, though.
Man, when I used to bring it in, like, Madden and all that. Like,
you know, Pops.
I am getting old, man. He worked me in Madden. Now, I can't beat him in Madden.
Uh-huh.
UFC, he whoops me.
Yeah.
I mean, he whoops me in the UFC game. But I get in there, I still play.
Yeah.
You know, but little things. Like, I noticed my little niece one day, she's at the house, and my sister-in-law's over, and she's like, Mom, watch me. And then her mom's on her phone, and she jumps in the pool. It's something so insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets out, and she's like, Mom, you weren't watching.
Yeah.
And just that little stuff,
that little
they pick up. She's like, no, I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
And they pick up on that little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just those little things that add up,
mm-hmm,
you know, where you weren't attached and you weren't involved and you weren't present in the
right
moment with your child. It, it's so big to just be present,
mm-hmm,
in the moment with your
yeah
kids. And
yeah,
we forget that as busy as we are, and there's probably no one whose phone rings and buzzes and gets more emails and text messages and alerts than me,
mm-hmm,
on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I joked because it was the first morning I had slept past like 6 or 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
during the week and forever. And it's supposed to be a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to take my phone off the dresser and put it under some pillows on the side. Because
yeah
all morning it was just burr, 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 burr. All morning, it was insane. And I told my wife, I said, oh my God, no one's phone makes more. So if I can do it, anyone can do it with their children, to be present in the moment and take
and
that time for them.
It's so important, you know. I think me and you were talking about this a couple of weeks ago with my daughter. You know, she will, you know, being that I'm, again, I had a child at a late age, and so, you know, now I'm
you're more mature and you're wiser too.
I'm more mature and wiser, but she's still teaching me to slow it down.
Right.
I stay extremely busy, but you know, she's at that age right now. She was like, she's at that daddy look stage. Daddy look, daddy look, daddy look, daddy look. And sometimes I have to catch myself because I will, you know, be okay. Yeah, uh huh. Yeah, uh huh. But you know, when she stops, then I say, wait a minute. I'm turning around and I'm looking to see, because she needs that attention.
They do.
She needs to see daddy
it
looking.
They crave
because
it.
Because that's what she needs to be able to
it's
identify
reassurance.
With. And it's reassurance. It's building the confidence.
Exactly.
I want her to know that what you're saying is important, what you're doing is important. Because if not, they'll grow up with that complex of, needing that attention, yeah. starving that attention.
And you don't want a little girl that's seeking some other man's attention because she didn't get that.
Right. I wanted to say something else, but you're doggone right. Exactly.
Yeah, and, it's a fact, though. It's a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that as a father, you have that responsibility. Right. To be that father figure mm-hmm. to your daughter.
Yeah, especially with a daughter. You know, Monty tells me all the time that I baby her too much, and I say, well, you know, because she, you know, she'll like
Daddy's
sometimes.
Daddy's girl, she got you. Yeah, she got you wrapped.
I mean, what am I supposed to do, say no? Because she'll still be in the bathroom like, Daddy, Daddy, what? I don't have any tissue. I'm looking at the tissue, and the tissue's like a finger length out of reach for her. She don't want to stretch. She wants Daddy to come get it.
Of course.
You know, I'm going to get it. You know, mom's like, go ahead, you can get it.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that, you know, it's hard. I never want her to feel like I'm not there.
Right.
I never want her to feel like I have to go somewhere outside of my dad or my mom
right.
for anything that I need. And I'm purposely instilling that in her, because as they get older, that's a part of the character traits that they develop.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't always pay attention enough to those little nonverbal cues. And that's where being present is so huge with the children. And then teaching them the right fundamentals. Mm-hmm. You know, not only being present, but then teaching them as they get a little older the right lessons and the right things as they grow up. Mm-hmm. Helping instill confidence. Just that little bit of being present and good job, great job. Oh yeah, you could do anything you want. You know, just them hearing positive affirmations and positive reinforcement from an early age is tremendous. You know, they have to hear that and believe that, because if they hear negativity and they hear the toxic stuff that's all over the news and social media, and if you provide that negative household and you know,
the
you
environment, yeah.
yes, oh my God, you give that meaning and you give that negativity a voice and bring it into the life of the child, they will absolutely believe what they hear and what
right.
they see.
Yeah.
And if you don't foster constant positivity, then you're setting that child up for a very, very difficult road ahead.
That's right.
Whereas if you bring the positive things and always keep them moving in a positive direction, you can absolutely change and give them a better course than where your life is, give them a better foot forward, and teach them from lessons and mistakes that you might have made along the way. So stay tuned after this short commercial break. You guys stay celevated out there. We got more financial fitness right here. Welcome back. Our second half of financial fitness. We are here in studio talking a little Father's Day, a little life lessons, parenting lessons 101, and talking with my good friend Trey Gradnigo. You know, I was watching Formula One this weekend, a little Father's Day race day. Got had my Father's Day McLaren hat
I see
on.
The McLaren
so, yeah, yeah, had to rep my team, you know. I joke a lot with my wife. I was a very talented race car and go-kart race driver. The only problem was I didn't have the money to start racing until I was in my 30s.
Mm.
And, you know, my first year of racing, I actually won the points and was very dominant in go-kart racing my first year out.
Mm-hmm.
And my coach, you know, who'd been around racing for 30-plus years, he's like, man, you're one of the most gifted drivers I've ever worked with.
Wow.
Which was a compliment, because he's one of the hardest men to ever get a compliment from.
Wow.
And, you know, I always would watch these kids and stuff, and I would joke, and I was like, if only I'd have been a billionaire's son, I could have been a Formula One driver, because there's some crazy, crazy money in Formula One. And, you know, we don't always get to do those things, mm-hmm. but, you know, another one of my favorite pastimes with Asher was we raced go-karts together.
Yeah.
And we would go to the track, and we would get there early, and we would go walk the track.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he really enjoyed that. And for anyone who's raced cars or raced any kind of motorcycles or anything, knows the importance of studying the turns, the corners, mm-hmm. the apexes and the exits mm-hmm. of each corner, and then knowing where you're going to brake, where you're going to accelerate.
Yeah.
And Asher and I would walk the track together, and he would then ask me when we would go. He's like, "Daddy, when are we gonna go walk?"
Yeah.
He looked forward to that track walk together.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good bonding time, and it was a great coaching time. And you know, I was fortunate that all my kids are very coachable. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some fathers and some parents out there that their kids don't respond well to them in sports, coaching them. And they, you know, they have to rely on the coaches instead. I've been very fortunate. My kids are very coachable, mm-hmm. and they listen. And I think some of that comes down to approach, too. But, you know, coaching your kids in sports, I think, is tremendous. You know, for boys and girls, I think they need something positive.
Yeah.
A team sport and individual sports where they learn being part of a team and the importance of contributing. And then individual sports are good as well because that teaches them confidence and hard work. And like I always tell Asher, be the hardest working one in the room.
Yeah.
You know, and we try to instill those lifelong lessons at an early age. And so him and his older brother, you know, he's had a good role model there with Landon, who was a state champion in football, and Kendall, who's a volleyball champion. You know, they're great athletes, and so he looks up to, you know, of course, big brother more so just because they're boys,
and
big brother was a football player and
football star.
Yeah,
championship,
you know,
program.
Yeah, so he, you know, he wants to, but he also wants to carve his own path. You know, and fighting is might be. I tell you what, that kid, I could see that kid on a UFC card one day with the way he moves and the work he puts in.
And that's also why it is important to let kids try different things. So try various extracurricular activities because it makes them a well-rounded person, but it also will help them to kind of figure out what they want to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's important to do that early,
yeah.
Because, you know, the more exposure they have to things, then the more broad their horizons are, the greater vision that they're going to have.
Yeah.
And so, you know, by being involved with multiple activities like that, then it just helps them to find out who they are faster.
Absolutely.
And find out what they like.
And if they are lucky enough to have really good coaches, mm-hmm. is so big because great coaches are unsung heroes and mentors for a lot of children.
Yes,
you know, you'll find some of these coaches in sports that they shaped children's lives.
Yeah.
You know, people who didn't have a father or a mother, and then they had that coach that mm-hmm. was that beacon of light in their life and taught them something that their parents didn't teach them.
Yeah.
You know, so getting your kids involved in activities like that, I think, is huge because they could find that coach that is the absolute changing point in their life.
Right.
And sports was that way out, or that thing that gave them something positive. You know,
yeah.
You see some of these kids who they didn't have much positive in life. Mm-hmm. In football or volleyball or basketball, something was that positive right. release and outlook, and it gave them some kind of meaning.
Right.
You know, so I'm a big believer in sports.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think it's a lot better than your kids being on an iPad,
being
on social media.
You know, as a parent, you have to, you know, father or mother, as a parent, you really have to limit. Just take a look at what your child is doing. Take a look at what your child is spending time doing.
Screen time,
those things by far.
Yeah.
You know, I see it with my own daughter. You know, I'll see her sometimes when she's in front of that TV too long. She's wired. She just, you know.
Yeah.
I said, oh, wait, turn the TV off. It was so funny this weekend. I had her doing a color sheet, and she wanted to watch TV while she was doing the color sheet. I said, no. I said, turn
right.
the television off so that you can concentrate and you know, do a nice color sheet. So the first one, she got it. And so she actually said, so can I watch TV after? I said, yeah, after you do the color sheet and a couple of activity sheets, you can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I gave her one of them. She went in the room, came back about 3 minutes later, everything the same color. It was like lines all over the place. She just hurried up and got it done.
Nope.
I said, Earth?
Nope.
I said, listen, you can't.
Not gonna cut.
Right. It's nice. I'm gonna tell you it's ugly because you're too young. But listen, you can do better.
I know what you
can do better. Yeah.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah. So she kind of went back, and when she got settled in, you know, she totally forgot about the television after that. She got engaged in what she was doing.
Exactly. And so similar thing. Asher likes you know, YouTube, like any kid today. And I'll try to limit his cell phone use. The other day, Asher was on it a good bit, and I told him, I said, man, you've been on that phone too much. Mm-hmm. Where's those Legos that Uncle Randy had gotten you? You got a few big Lego sets that you hadn't put together yet, and Asher loves Legos. Mm-hmm. And I said, dude, I want you to build your Lego sets.
There you go.
And I don't want to see the phone anymore. And so he had a couple of big Lego sets that he got, and put one together. It was like a big Star Wars, one of the big like Millennium Falcon type of ships, and he was so excited, you know, he couldn't wait, and I mean, he puts them together so fast. He's brilliant, you know, and I was like, dude, wow. Puts it together, 1,000-piece set, and he's so proud of it. And I said, doesn't that feel better than watching a YouTube video? He goes, it really does. You know, like, and so he's playing with his Legos, and it works their brain. Gets them thinking.
Yeah.
I don't help him at all with any of his Lego sets. I don't give him tips, pointer, anything. He has his own little method that he gets. You know, he's got like each little bag of pieces. Mm-hmm. He goes and gets paper plates, and he puts them, labels them, you know, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and he has each plate, and he sets them out, and he's systematic, and he knocks them out.
That's awesome.
And so he went and bought another Lego set with a Formula One and a McLaren, he put that together.
That's called manifestation there. You're putting together a McLaren.
So, you know, we try to keep them engaged in things that are positive, that are going to help, that will keep their brain working over the summer. And again, sure, he watches YouTube, and sure, he watches some silly, funny stuff. We manage it because he's so well behaved that we let him do some of that, but just not too much.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I always tell him, I want you watching some educational stuff, too.
Right. Yeah.
So he watches a lot of sports history, a lot of trivia, a lot of facts. I mean, I can't even keep up with him on sports trivia. He's like, who's got the most receiving yards this year? I was like, nope.
That's educational.
Yeah, so he's keeping track of you know, data and learning along the way. And so, you know, those are things that I think are positive. So you got to stay tuned for our final segment. Stay celebrated out there. We got one last segment of Financial Fitness coming after this break. Welcome back. Our final segment here on Financial Fitness. We're talking a little Father's Day, a little life lessons, parenting lessons. And on the break, Trey and I were talking a little bit about protecting the innocence of children. You know, that childhood blissful innocence that you can't get back. And during the break, I was telling Trey, I said, you know, Asher still knows that there's a Santa Claus, and he still knows that there's a tooth fairy, and he gets that true childhood joy for Christmas, and when he loses a tooth, and you know, it's our job to protect our children from the ugly world around them as long as possible.
As long as possible.
They don't need to know a lot of the ugly truths and things that happen in the world. They don't need to hear mommy and daddy fighting. Our kids never saw or heard Jennifer and I fight, and that was something we worked very hard. We don't fight often ever, but when we did, the kids were never involved, and they would never hear it.
Yeah.
You know, I would see friends and you know, people who they're you know, divorced, and they're fussing at their son. You're just like your dad. You're just like your, and that's the worst thing.
That's the worst thing.
Because they idolize their dad.
Yep.
Why is there, you know, and you know, all kids look up to their dad.
Mm-hmm.
They're lucky their dad's still around.
Yep.
You know, so even if they're split up, you know, so you guys as parents, we have to be very, very conscious. Like we said, everything you do, they see and hear.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you don't protect that innocence, you know, they're going to grow up and they're going to see things at way too young an age, and it's going to change the course of their life.
Yeah.
And usually not for the better.
Yeah.
You know, the more you can keep them childlike and have that innocence and that blissful youth, and teach them the right lessons, the right ways to manage their finances, the right ways to go to work, the right ways to go to school, and the right ways to treat people, you know, and teach them, you know, those basic fundamentals of what's right and what's wrong.
That's right.
Even if you don't always live by it, they don't need to know your mistakes and see them. Teach them and teach them to be better than you. I always say that, you know, my kids and my wife know that's one of my mottos is that my goal is to make my kids a lot better than me.
And, you know, you said something key, you know, in terms of divorce, because a lot of what we're talking about right now is parenting is, you know, with two parents in the home. But, you know, if you're not two parents in the home, if you've gone through a divorce or you, you know, weren't married or you, for whatever reason, the parents aren't together, you know, it is very important that you also maintain that respect for your child's mother or father. Because let's say, for instance, we're talking about Father's Day. So if you're a mother and you're down-talking your son's father, that can make him very angry on the inside. And that anger doesn't always display until he's probably old enough not to care about the reactions or what may the repercussions of that anger. So, you know, it's very important, and you have to do this. If you are not, if you're single, or if you're not with your child's father or mother, do not down talk
the other
parent.
No, it never.
Always maintain that respect.
That was a big thing. You know, Jennifer would never ever let the kids hear anything negative. She never brought up their dad in any negative context, and she did a wonderful job of that, you know, because again, that's their father, she's the mother, and the kids don't need to know what the problems are, why they got divorced or anything else. Instead, you know, they just need to know mommy and daddy aren't together. Mm-hmm. Daddy loves you, mommy loves you, and they need to have that peace and not be caught in the middle of a tug of war, because that's where a lot of problems for children come from too, is that tug of war, because they want to please both sides.
Right.
Because, of course, that's part of a child. They want to make mommy happy. They want to make daddy happy.
Yeah.
And if they see one is at the other, then it puts them in a precarious spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they never should be felt like they're in the middle of anything.
Right.
They just need to be kept completely sheltered and separated from that. And a lot of people do not do a good job of that, because they let anger and emotion take over instead of logic. And we're emotional creatures as human beings, and sometimes we have to be smart and be logical and realize the kid doesn't need to see or be a part of any of that.
And it's selfish. You know, it really is selfish if you put your child in a position that they have to choose, or put your child in a position to where they're confused about, you know, well, who's right, who's wrong. That's too much weight on them. And that's not what they're here to do.
No.
That's not why God put them on the planet.
Yeah. If you're fortunate enough that your child's mother or father is still involved, then that's good, because there's a lot of children who don't have a mother or a father in their life. And so if your children are lucky enough to have both, then that's fantastic. You just need to embrace that and make sure that you guys each set a good tone and teach them what they need to learn to be positive children and positive members of society as they grow up, and give them the tools and the resources to go out there and do it.
Right.
You know, that's our job as parents. That's our one responsibility, is to make the next generation better.
That's right.
And if we can do that, then we've accomplished one of the most important jobs in our life, which is mentoring and teaching the children and the next generation so they can go out and be better than we were.
And that's your reward. You know, if you raise your children right, and when they become older, like, you know, yesterday my dad came over, my dad and my mom, and I mean, my dad is the best dad ever. I mean, him and my mom, I mean, they've been together, I don't know, 50-something years.
Wow.
They've been married a long time. And, you know, my dad was the best example of what a man can be. And so I had a very, very, very good foundation there. And so yesterday we were out, and, you know, he's out in the backyard. You know, he's sitting at his son's house in the backyard, just kind of looking around. He's like, this is this. He had that look of comfort and ease.
Right.
You know, but he invested that into me.
Yeah.
He put that in me. So at his age, he had the pleasure of sitting down and just seeing the fruits of his labor.
Yeah.
Sitting down, relaxing, drinking some ice cold water, and just hanging out. Seeing the grandbaby and spoiling her. And, you know, so, you know, that's your reward later in life, because when you get to be older, you know, the money and all of that stuff is going to come and go, but that piece
the
of
legacy
mind,
you leave behind.
That legacy is what's going to truly matter.
Right. Yeah, and that's what carries on beyond you. So what legacy you leave behind, you know, your children, your grandchildren, how they live is what's going to either honor you or dishonor your name.
Right.
You know, so if you raise your children right and they carry on, that's the best thing you could ever do for yourself and for the world, because you've left something really positive for the world to have, and that's a child that goes on to contribute something positive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all of us really can do is
right.
try to contribute something positive to the world around us, and as parents make our children something great and something better than us.
Yeah. And you know, that's why, like with your son, with Asher, you know, all of that you're investing in him now, and it's a truly investment, then the fruit of that, you're gonna reap that. You may, you know, right now it's fun and it's, you know, it's fulfilling, but you know there's still more that's gonna come.
Oh yeah, the best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come. It truly
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We watched that TV show All American, and you know, Landon, you know, just graduated. They won the state title in football and stuff. And you know, Kendall's in high school now. I can't wait for her volleyball season to kick off and start playing. You know, but we're watching the show, and I was like, golly, you know, I miss watching Landon play ball. You know, it's like, you know, so when they get older and, you know, they're not on the field anymore, you know, it's like, oh, what's next? What's that next chapter in life? You know, so then he's in college now. He's got a girlfriend. You know, Landon wants to have kids and, you know, totally different mindset. You know, he's already talking about marriage and kids because he had a positive outlook. Even though his parents got divorced, they still, you know, remarried, and he sees we're happy, and his grandparents have been together for 50 years or what have you. And so he wants kids and a family. You know, so wanting that because he's seen a positive family environment, and you know, that's the thing that we could do for our children. So that's it for us tonight on Financial Fitness. Shout out to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. We thank you guys for listening, and you guys stay celebrated for more episodes of this every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m.